evening, and Genesis chapter number 37. For a couple of months now, we have had as our Wednesday evening Bible study this subject matter of teach me, and we understood that the psalmist throughout the Psalms, in particular in Psalm 119, repeatedly makes that plea to the Lord, teach me. And what a great plea, and I believe that as we have studied these last couple of months on Wednesday evenings, I believe that we have acknowledged our need to be instructed, number one. I believe also that we have voiced our desire to be taught, that we have echoed what the psalmist said, and we've said, Lord, teach me. And I'm thankful that our Lord is, He has all wisdom, and He is interested in teaching us. Aren't you thankful for that? And what a blessing to know that He has all wisdom. And not only that He desires to teach us, He's able to teach us, He's effective in teaching us. Amen? And I'm so thankful for the fact that He uses, as we've mentioned in weeks gone by, He uses a variety of methods in order to teach His children. And He knows which method is most effective for each of His children. And there are methods of learning that vary from individual to individual. And there are times in which we can acknowledge in our own lives that I learn best in this format or in this manner. And God knows you better than you know you. Aren't you thankful for that? And He knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it. And this evening, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we'll be looking at a few chapters here just very quickly this evening, and just an overview of some things from the life of Joseph. But I think about the life of Joseph, and as we highlight a few moments, if you will, from his life this evening, and just look at some lessons that God taught him, I believe tonight that we could probably list a whole host of lessons that God taught Joseph in these years that God gives us a record of his life, but we'll focus on two lessons in particular that God taught Joseph. I believe that as you study this passage of Scripture, and as we think about those two lessons, I would say this, that those lessons were not learned in an easy format, in an easy setting. And I would call it, for Joseph, if you are taking notes this evening, I would call it the classroom of loneliness. And the classroom of loneliness, the reality is that I know personally that I would say this of myself, and some of you would say it of yourself as well, I really don't like being alone. And the reality is that there are times, and we see in Joseph's life here, where there were periods of loneliness in his life. And I can't imagine, as you think about Joseph and we understand his life, and obviously, as we'll just have a short period of time this evening to cover a number of portions of Scripture, just be a brief overview, as many of us are familiar with the life of Joseph, but I really want you to think about the loneliness that he would have experienced in these circumstances that he dealt with. But as we get to the end of the lesson this evening, I hope that we'd be able to see how God so graciously taught him some extremely valuable lessons that were learned in that difficult classroom, and then we have the opportunity as we study the Scriptures to learn them with Joseph. And notice with me, as we think about Joseph in the classroom of loneliness, I would say, first of all, I want you to consider Joseph while he was in the pit. Look at Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 23. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him." Now you know as well as I do that Joseph had been given instruction from his father to go find his brothers to see where they were, what was going on. And so Joseph was being obedient to the instruction that he had been given. And we find that he'd already had some dreams, and his brothers hated him because of these dreams. And not only did they hate him because of the dreams, but they hated him because he was the favorite son. He had this coat of many colors. And there was some crazy family dynamics that were going on. And we see that Joseph comes to them in verse number 23. And notice the Bible says in verse 24, "And they," his brothers, "took him and cast him into a pit." I want you to notice how God describes this pit. It says the pit was empty and there was no water in it. And they, his brother, sat down to eat bread. And as they were eating bread, they saw that there were some men that came, a company of Ishmaelites, traders that would come, and they were selling and buying goods, and they were on the trade market, if you will. And we know that Joseph would be sold into slavery. As we think about his time there in the pit, and just consider how that when he left home that morning, obeying his dad, he had no expectation that he'd find himself in a pit without any water, by himself, being empty, and then taken out of that pit for the purpose of being sold into slavery. We then find that as you fast forward through his life and skipping over the 38th chapter as it deals with Judah and Tamar, and looking then to Genesis chapter number 39, you find that the Bible says that Joseph was brought down to Egypt in verse number 1. And so Joseph is now, not only had he been in the pit and he taken out of the pit to be sold into slavery, but now the Bible tells us that he was brought down to Egypt. And you think about the distance from home, the different culture, a different language, a different people, and all of the things that Joseph would face. And the Bible then tells us that when he's there in Egypt, that he's purchased by Potiphar. And that's where we kind of go from the pit to Potiphar's house. And you notice in verse number 1 that the Bible says that Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which brought him down thither. And we understand that as he's there in the house of Potiphar, that God blessed him and God used him, and Potiphar recognized God's favor upon Joseph, and Potiphar recognized God's blessing in his life because of the blessing upon Joseph. And we understand some things that transpire, of course, with Potiphar's wife and the temptation, and Joseph fleeing the scene and getting out of the circumstances that were facing him there. And we know that there was a manipulation, a lie that was created to explain this account of what took place. We find that after Joseph was there at Potiphar's house for a period of time, that these things unraveled, and we find that Joseph fled, and Mrs. Potiphar had that coat and that garment that was left in her hand, and she gave this fictitious story to her husband with regard to what had transpired. And according to Genesis 39 and verse number 39, it says, "And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled." And verse 20 of Genesis 39 tells us that Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. You think about the journey, and I know we're going quickly this evening, and I want to get to the lessons that Joseph learns in this classroom of loneliness, but he goes from the pit that was empty where there's no water, and he's sold into slavery, and he finds himself in Potiphar's house, and just the uniqueness of being there and everything unfamiliar to him, and again, as I mentioned, a new culture, a new language, all of those things, and now he's in prison. It's hard for us to fully comprehend these events and understanding them as he would deal with them personally. Obviously, as we read the scriptures, we know the end of the account, and we can rejoice in knowing how God is working and what God is doing. But you understand that in your life and in my life, that we don't get to see the end of the story. We live it day by day, just as Joseph was living it. And Joseph was living day by day, and he's in this position, and now he's in prison. And we find, again, there while he's in prison, that the keeper of the prison understood that God was with him, and he understood there was something different about Joseph. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 41, after Joseph had interpreted those dreams in Genesis 40 for the butler and the baker, and he says to the butler, "Remember me," but we find that the Bible says that the butler forgot him. And in Genesis chapter 41, the Bible begins by telling us in verse number 1 that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. That's a long period of time. I understand that there are times in which we can look back at our lives and say, man, it seems like time flies and it goes so quickly. Can you imagine being in a foreign land, being falsely accused, being in prison, and this circumstance and this situation, and being there for 2 years forgotten? Man, it's challenging. difficult. But God makes no mistakes, and God was working and moving and teaching Joseph some lessons. Again, I'm sure that we could come up with a number of lessons that God taught Joseph during this time of loneliness, but I want to share two with you this evening that I hope will be a blessing to us. Number one, Joseph learned the truth of God's presence. You know, the reality is that we have promises in God's Word with regard to His presence. I am thankful that the Bible teaches us, and we often refer to that great promise of Hebrews 13 where the Word of God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And what a great promise that is, and how wonderful it is for us to recognize the presence of God as we think about the people of God who had been given the promise personally that God would be with them. Jacob receives that promise. We understand that Joshua receives that promise. A number of Bible characters that we can look to have received that promise personally, but God has given us the truth that He's with us. And the reality is that there's something that we learn about the presence of God during a period of loneliness and the classroom of loneliness that far exceeds any ability to learn of His presence under other circumstances. And we think about that truth this evening, and we think about the lesson that Joseph learned. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter number 39, and I want you to see how four times in this chapter this truth is repeated to us with regard to the presence of God with Joseph. The Bible says Joseph is in a foreign land. He's in a strange land. He's living amongst the people that he is unfamiliar with in a language and all of those things. And we find that the Bible tells us in verse number 2 of Genesis 39, look at how it starts. And the Lord was with Joseph. Isn't that encouraging? Joseph had been put into a pit. Joseph had been taken out of that pit for the purpose of being sold into slavery. Joseph goes down into Egypt and he's purchased by Potiphar. And the Bible tells us at the beginning of the account that the Lord was with Joseph. It was not a situation where God had forgotten where Joseph was, that God was not familiar with what was going on. God was with Joseph. And he was with Joseph throughout these events and all that transpired. You look in verse number 2, it says, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Notice verse number 3, and his master saw, notice what it says, the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The presence of God was so evidenced in the life of Joseph that even Potiphar recognized that the Lord was with him. That's impactful. No doubt if Potiphar could acknowledge and could see through observation that the Lord was with Joseph, no doubt Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. And Joseph in this strange land, in these unfortunate from our perspective circumstances, he knew something about the very presence of God. In fact, when Potiphar's wife comes and she finds that there's no one else in the house and this was her opportunity, I've said this before as I've looked at this passage of Scripture, she looked around and she saw that no one was there, but I believe that Joseph looked around and knew that God was there because he had learned something about the presence of God. And he had learned that God was with him. And he's falsely accused and he goes through those adverse circumstances. He ends up in prison. But I want you to notice that in verse number 21, after he was thrown into prison, notice it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. It tells us in verse 22 that the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So now again, we see that the Bible tells us that the Lord was with Joseph, but now we find that there's someone else through observation, not only Potiphar, but now the keeper of the prison, that he can tell that God is with Joseph. This is encouraging. There are times in which, no doubt, we can feel lonely. We can feel as if we're all alone and we've been forsaken. We can feel like God is far away. If you read through the Psalms, you can see that. You can read the transparency of the psalmist where he feels as if God is far away, but we can rest in the knowledge that God is present. And His presence is real. And His presence is to be known by His people. And even in these adverse, again, from our perspective, circumstances, we find that the Bible repeatedly teaches us this truth that God is with Joseph. His brothers, they meant him evil. They meant him harm. Let's see what will become of his dreams, right? Get rid of them. Hey, Dad, do you know whose coat this is after it's dipped in blood, right? But God is with Joseph. And Joseph learned a valuable lesson through this classroom of loneliness, and that is the presence of God is real. And in our lives this evening, we need to learn that God's presence is real. I've often said over the years with regard to the truth of God being with us and Him never leaving us nor forsaking us, this truth of God's Word brings great comfort to the people of God. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 23? He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But as you go through the passage of Scripture, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," right? That's what he says. The psalmist understood that even though I'm in the midst of this difficult circumstance, the Lord is with me, the shepherd. Listen, our God is a good shepherd. You know what the good shepherd does? He's with the sheep. The hireling is the one that flees when danger comes, but the shepherd is the one that's there protecting the sheep in times of difficulty, in times of adversity. And throughout the Scriptures, you find that our God is a good shepherd. You find that throughout the Scriptures that there are indictments against the shepherds for their failings and their not fulfilling the responsibilities of feeding the flock and protecting the flock and caring more about themselves. But as you know, the truth of our shepherd, He's a good shepherd and He's with us. And that ought to cause us to be comforted this evening. Joseph learned this lesson. David knew the reality of God's presence as well, as he mentions there in Psalm 23. I would say this, not only is the presence of God a great comfort to the people of God, but I believe that this evening when you think about the presence of God, it helps us to walk with Him. Why did Joseph flee? There in Genesis chapter number 39, when the temptation came day by day, because he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Right? He understood the presence of God. He understood, listen, there's nothing that's hidden to God. Right? We believe that this evening. There's nothing that's hidden from God. He knows everything. He's everywhere. He's omniscient and omnipresent. And we think about this truth this evening. We find that it brings us comfort, but it also helps us to abide in Him and to walk with Him and to understand that He is a very present help in the time of trouble. I'm so thankful for the presence of God. Let me give you a second lesson that I believe Joseph learned throughout these events that he faced. It's the lesson of God's purpose. Not only God's presence, but of God's purpose. You understand this evening that God has a purpose in everything that He does. Sometimes His purposes are not known to us immediately, but as we understand, as we study the Scriptures, as we have the whole canon of Scripture, and we understand the nature and character of our God, that we can rest in knowing that He doeth all things well. He makes no mistakes. His way is perfect, and that He's more interested in bringing glory to Himself than bringing comfort in my life. Amen? Now, sometimes that's hard for us to really swallow and deal with because we like the comfort in our lives. But the reality is that it's that He would be glorified, that He would be magnified. And we find throughout the events in this portion of Genesis with regard to the events that Joseph deals with and looking at these moments of difficulty that he learned of God's purpose. Look over in Genesis chapter 45, if you will. And again, I know that we're familiar with what takes place and many of us are familiar with the life and story of Joseph and the account. But as we come to Genesis chapter 45, we find that it's here where Joseph will reveal himself to his brothers. We find that it's here in verse number 3, the Bible says that Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. Why? For they were troubled at his presence. They knew what they did. Not only did they know what they did, but they knew what they deserved for what they did. Amen? We see that a couple of times through their interactions. But notice in verse number 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Joseph knew exactly what happened. He knew what his brothers did. He was not ignorant of the fact. He was not losing his mind in some way, shape, or the other. No, Joseph very much knew what had taken place, but he knew that there was a God in heaven that had a purpose for these things that he had endured. And you find that in verse number 5, look at what he says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Notice what he says, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Notice again, look at what he says in verse number 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Look at verse number 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine? I mean, put your mind around the statement in verse number 8 when he says, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Through these adverse circumstances, again from our perspective, we find that Joseph learned something with regard to the purpose of God. God has a purpose. You say, why am I dealing with these things? I don't really know, but God has a purpose. And we're seeking to determine, to discover what that purpose is. And it may be that God would allow us, he would be gracious and allow us to understand the purpose for that which we're dealing with. Paul is in prison in the book of Philippians. He's writing from prison to those believers in Philippi. And he says, I want you to understand something. The things that have happened unto me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. What joy. What perspective. Finish with me in Genesis chapter 50 this evening. In Genesis chapter number 45, right after this interaction, we find that Jacob then returns. And now in Genesis chapter 50, Jacob is now dead. We find that the brethren are fearful because Joseph perhaps was just showing us kindness while dad was alive, and now dad is dead and it's not going to bode well for us. And so therefore the brothers come and they kind of give Joseph this story with regard to what their father commanded before he died. And we find that Joseph then wept and spake unto them. Notice in verse number 18, his brethren also went and fell down before his face and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Again, notice verse 19 and 20 of Genesis 50. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph learned something about God's purpose. As we study the life of Joseph, I don't think any of us would probably say, I want to sign up for all of those situations. But when you understand that God has a purpose, it might not be that we end up in a pit and that we end up in a prison. But wherever it is that God is moving and God is working, whatever it is that God's bringing in our life, we understand that through those situations that God teaches us great lessons. And Joseph learned some lessons through difficulty, through adversity, through loneliness. He learned the presence of God. He learned that God was with him. When my brothers forsake me, they want me dead. They've left me in a pit, and then they decided, well, let's sell them because we'll get something for them. God was with him. When he was lied about, falsely accused, imprisoned, God was with him. By the way, when he was in the palace, God was with him. And Joseph learned something about the presence of God through the classroom of loneliness. I believe that also he learned about the purposes of God. And I'm thankful that God has a purpose. God's plan is perfect. You believe that this evening? God's plan is absolutely perfect. And you understand that God's plan, his view of his plan, is a different view than our view of his plan. Why do I say that? Because he sees every detail. And he sees how it all works together. We just see a little tiny part of it, but we must trust him that he has a purpose and he has a plan, and we see it in the life of Joseph. And Joseph says, listen, I know that you meant evil against me, but I want you to understand that I have learned something. You cannot overcome the sovereignty of God. And God meant it unto good. Because our God is good and our God has a purpose. He said, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. Joseph, you mean that God used, couldn't he have used a different method to send you there? He's God. He could use any method he wanted to. But that was the method that he chose. And Joseph learned some valuable lessons. This evening, there are times in which we might face, as we dealt with in our last study, the classroom of affliction. I think that's kind of seen here as well. We may deal with some affliction. We might deal with some loneliness. But always be mindful of the fact that God is using that in our lives to teach us. And oftentimes it's in those classrooms of great difficulty, the classroom of loneliness, where we may learn something that we cannot learn in any other classroom. And God, in his wisdom, in his grace and his kindness, he says, here's the classroom that we need to go through for a little while so that you can learn. You can learn that I'm with you. You can learn that I have a purpose. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that you are always with us, that you promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for the reality of that truth. And Lord, I thank you for the scripture that's recorded for us from the life of Joseph, where we can see that in his life. God, we thank you that you have a purpose. And I know that each one that's gathered together this evening, that there are a variety of circumstances and things that we're facing in our lives, but God, help us to rest in knowing that you have a purpose. We may not understand it. We may not see it. Our vision may be blurred. But God, help us to rest in knowing that you have a purpose. And as we go through these classrooms, would you help us to learn these lessons just as Joseph did and others in the scriptures? We pray that you'd bless our time of prayer, that through all that's said and done, that you'd be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.